This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two. We in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
Talk to me, baby. Come on, man. It's a new era. Hey.
We're changing the landscape.
Hey.
For the third time.
Well, they learn from everything. They learn from the Kings.
Big announcement this week. Look at these new colors.
Big announcement. We actually made everything worse.
Big announcement. Oh, boy. We'll be watching the Patriots game together on the stream.
We welcome you in here. We having fun. We hope you having fun with us, man. We welcome you in here to the Wednesday, April 23rd edition of D-Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
The worst slums of Sacramento.
Shout out to Jesse Tapia.
I'm in God mode.
Hey.
Need to get Jesse a drop besides this one.
Stop.
Nope, not this one. What is it? Jesse had one. Where is it?
What are you doing with him?
Yeah, where is it? Oh, this one.
What are you doing with him?
I don't know. I like that one. That might be his drop.
What do we say? Yo, shout out Jesse Tapia.
What are you doing with him?
We hit it. We hit that?
He does a good job. He does that one. Oh, by the way, I was listening back.
Oh, no.
No, that rock was kind of off. That was on point.
Yeah, you're not playing again this season, but...
That was kind of
you're going to stay on the roster, pal.
I got to work on it, but that was kind of on point.
We're giving him a three-year deal, first 2 years guaranteed, third year is going to be a team option.
I think you got to close your
eyes.
I think you got to close your eyes because I heard it on the podcast form, so obviously no visuals. Oh, no. No, that was Lil Rock. That was Lil Rock there. The cadence was there. We talk about 6 weeks.
Now you sound like Barack Obama. What are you doing? What is that?
No, look, I'm telling you. I told them Final Boss is done. We don't need to be here anymore. We've got 6 weeks. 6 weeks to make this happen, Jesse. I'm telling you right now. And we had one of the great heel turns in the history, of wrestling.
It is like Obama trying to do Rock now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
We started off good yesterday.
I hate what my life has become.
Oh, no.
No, I genuinely do. Watching the press conference today, Scott Perry, and I get a text that says, I guarantee you, this is my life now. I've worked 20 years in this industry, in this market, to get texts that say, I guarantee you, Kenny's Scott Perry sounds just like Jerry Jones.
Well, it's a little raspy. It's a little raspy. Look. I've been in this game a long time, and I got a lot of texts from a lot of people. A lot of people. When I got that call, when they
the text
heard I
was right,
there.
He sounds like
when
Jerry.
When they heard I was there, I got a lot of texts from a lot of people. I want to thank my wife. 37 years of marriage. Hey, she.
No.
I want to thank
Jerry
her
before he lost it.
No, this is this is
this is Jerry when he was coherent.
This is Jerry Perry over here.
Hey, you know who really hates the Jerry impersonations? Stanley.
Oh,
Stanley,
man.
Called in one time, didn't even want to talk on the show. Like, hey, tell Kenny to chill out. Shout out Stanley,
relax. Oh, man. Hey, well, look, there is such a thing as Winning a press conference.
Well, and we saw that today. Yeah, it is real. Let's start with the most simplistic stuff, because this isn't what Kings fans care about, and I get it. I understand. But let's acknowledge it's very cool to have a general manager with a personality. One that, you know, doesn't have the communication skills of a plastic straw. One that is engaging. And look, you could say, oh, man, he ain't say nothing. I'd ask, like, one, remember, general managers, coaches, they're never going to say anything. And once you really get good at it, we said this all the time with Peyton Manning. Maybe before today, I didn't think there was anyone better at saying stuff that appeased media, fans, all these, without actually saying anything. You're just using words. Scott Perry answered every question that was put in front of him. Hey, and shout out to Hammer and Sean and Tone and Jay and everyone who I feel like. If you're a Kings fan and you had a question, it was probably asked. Now, the answer you got might not have been in depth as you were looking for, but I don't feel like he shied away from answering anything. He just might not have answered it as directly as you wanted him to.
Right.
But I thought listening to Scott Perry was terrific.
Look, I tweeted this out. I'll say it here. And I understand it's probably a little unfair to Monty McNair. There are different ways to go about being good at your job, or being a good communicator, or being a good negotiator. I understand that. There's no one set way. But I listened to Scott Perry for 5 minutes.
Yep.
And I could imagine him being on a phone call, being in the same room with a Rich Paul, with a Sam Presti, with Larry Frank, name whatever GM, and being able to execute a trade, a deal, getting something done. Like I said, talking to a Rich Paul or an Aaron Goodwin or a Bill Duffy, and being able to get a free agent signed. Yeah. I envision that just by the way he speaks, the way he communicates,
right. The
way he engages. And you contrast that with Monty McNair, and once again, it's not fair, and I don't mean no disrespect, but can you imagine him negotiating a deal?
No, I can't.
Without just
getting
worked.
We've been led to believe that he might not have.
Without just getting worked. Like, I'm sorry that's how I felt, because like I said, Monty didn't do nothing wrong to nobody personally. He was fine every time I seen him and talked to him, but it just is what it is. That's
our job is to evaluate how they do at their job. There are people who make their living off evaluating what we do for our job. Like, it's just the name of the game.
Yeah.
And anytime we talk about a player, with few exceptions, anytime we talk about a coach, general manager, it's about their job. It's about how they're doing. I can't figure out if Monty McNair was bad at his job or not. I mean, maybe he had a short-term vision for this team, but not a long-term vision, which is a unique skill set. I mean, the great ones have the ability to have both. There are some people who are really great at short-term planning. There are some people that are really great at long-term planning. I feel like Monty might have been great at short-term planning. But once you got out of that short-term, it got tough.
No, you were like, I just had a thought, because like you asked, like, if you wonder if Monty McNair was even good at, like, if he was good, like, good at a job or not, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it's just kind of like, what even was his job when he was here? Not that he was doing nothing, but like, how much of it was just you were analytics and draft? And
it's a fair question.
Like, how less of you was it you were doing trades and all that?
Given the setup that we came to learn, I don't know. He was the front-facing general manager, though. And it took a few years before – it really wasn't until things started to turn a little bit where it was like, no, it's not Monty. It's Monty and Wes.
Yeah, and even then, though, I feel like he's supposed to be the closer.
Wes was.
No,
Monty was.
Monty was. It felt like Monty was the final decision maker. Because from everything that I could gather, and I could be wrong, but just talking to people, looking how things go, Wes would do all this willing and dealing. He was the talker. He was the one that communicated deal, but nothing got done unless Monty gave the okay.
Do we know who was the one telling people deals were done?
Probably Wes.
I think it was Wes. Yeah,
because Wes was out here making
Wes. And Wes is the one who kind of
like piggyback on what Kenny was saying. I have to imagine if Wes is
Monty won't say two words, but Wes will say 2 million.
Yeah. But and not to stall Wes out because he shouldn't have been doing that. But Wes has worked with these people, got a deal or the parameters of a deal done. Yo, we got this done. It's good. Let's get it up to Monty and finish it off. And Monty, I don't know what he would do at that point. Yeah, would he say no?
I don't know if it's that simple. I feel like you're putting a lot of blame on Monty.
Every time I ask somebody, I say, who had the final say? Was it Vivek running thing? Was it what? They said, no, it was Monty. But Monty was letting these other people do whatever. But Monty had control. Monty had final say.
So, yeah, but if you have a deal done, how's it? Hey, if you're Wes Wilcox and you're negotiating a deal, how does it get to Monty and not get complete?
That's what everybody asks. That's what everybody asks.
Even remotely accurate, Monty not being fired when the first time this happened is egregious.
Why not do him back? Go ahead, Chrissy.
No, you're good.
I was just saying, like, how can you have these deals done and then, how does it just fall through every time?
People not being on the same page. There was three dynamics that weren't on the same page, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Monty, Mike, and Wes.
Mm-hmm.
And if they weren't all in a line, or at least two of them, or one of them wasn't able to I'll let you guys do this, things would just die. And I'm not blaming that on any one person. If anything, it probably be blamed on Vivek for creating that dynamic in the front office.
Absolutely.
But I believe that's how the – reading tea leaves, that seems to be how the dynamic will go. Because other things that we heard about it was Wes was the communicator.
Right.
So Wes, and once again, another flawed system by Vivek, but Wes would probably be the one that will go out searching for trades and deals and all this other stuff while Monty looks at the analytics of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if Wes is out, and like I said, I'm just looking around, if Wes is out there, hey, I just talked to Atlanta. We pretty much good. You know, I got to talk to Monty before we do anything, but let me talk to him. I think we're good. Hey, Domas.
Who is Wes talking to in that situation?
He's talking to the other team. Or the agent or whatever. Hey, we're good. I gotta run it past Monty, but we're good. I agree with what we got on. Sees Domas on the way. Hey, Domas, hey, we got something. We're cooking, dog. I'm about to go up there. It's good. And they get to Monty, and I don't know if he vetoes it. I don't know if I don't like this aspect of it. And it just dies. It just dies. Because
there's a lot wrong with what you just laid.
There absolutely is a lot wrong.
I don't think it's crazy, though.
It's almost all wrong. But I think that's how it played out.
If that is truly how this front office was functioning, it's no wonder we wound up in this position. We can't even remotely be surprised by this.
Haven't we all heard Wes was the communicator?
Absolutely.
So if he's the communicator without final say.
But I've never heard.
I'm piecing things together, to be fair.
Okay.
I'm hearing Wes is the communicator.
Yep.
I'm hearing Monty always had final say.
Okay. I hear you. I think that scenario is a bit of a reach, but we know if it didn't happen exactly the way you just laid out, we all know it happened. How it exactly happened, we don't know.
Right.
That scenario, that's as good as any.
I got a question too. If like both these guys are
good, I mean awful.
Working these deals, how is one guy leaving the room? Yeah, we got a deal, and the other one's not.
They're working.
His mouth.
They're not working together. Mm-hmm. They're working independent of each other. Wes is,
that's
why
I think where Kenny's idea is not that crazy. Where Wes is going to work, and I got the deal for Monty.
And that just paints like how bad this pick. This is an ugly picture, and that's why having one guy sitting at the podium today. Talking about what he wants to do with this basketball team was a great thing to see. You'll hear from Scott Perry. We'll run some of these clips. I got our good buddy Matt George, who talked to Leezy today.
Hey,
we have some clips from our friends at ABC 10 that we'll run here. We'll talk more. We want to hear from you, obviously, as well. What'd you think about Scott Perry's press conference today. You can jump in the chatty house, as many of you have. Shout out to those who have been with us all morning. You can hit us on the phone lines as well, 916-909-1320. We're just getting started. We'll dive into the playoffs. We can't possibly put this draft conversation on hold any longer. We'll talk about the NFL draft at some point today as well. It's Dealing with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Yes, it is, man. We appreciate you so much for being with us, whether you're on YouTube, Twitch, whether you're on Twitter, if you're listening on the Odyssey app, ESPN 1320 AM, 98.5 FM HD2. We know there's a lot of Kings news here today, so we appreciate that you come to us for that. If you missed Scott Perry's introductory press conference earlier here on ESPN 1320, we've got a couple of high points here that we'd like to play for you. Big thanks to Matt George for getting this onto his Twitter account in a timely manner. Shout out to ABC10 for all of the great stuff they do as well. This was the one that I think was, I don't know if it was the number one thing on everyone's mind, but it was definitely at the, it was definitely at the forefront, and it is the status of the head coaching position. Scott talked about that a couple of times today. Here he is talking about Del Christie.
Well, you're looking at a guy who's a veteran of so many coaching searches, I can't even count them right now. But what I can tell you is I've spent time with Doug Christie already. I first met Doug Christie when he was a player at Toronto. So I admired him as a player, his career. I've watched him this year from afar in terms of his ability to have a presence on the court. I think he's made a connection with players. We've had a few conversations up to this point. He was one of the first people I met with yesterday when I got into town. So I've only been here a little longer than 24 hours. With that said, my phone has incessantly rang for interest in this job. So I'm going to have a few more conversations in and around about this job, and hopefully I can come to some sort of resolution within the next week or so in terms of having a decision or announcement to inform everybody of.
So that got a lot of people's attention in multiple different ways. I was listening to Kyle and James on the way in. James is going to join us. He's still here in the building. He's going to come hang out with us here in a little bit. But I heard, because I had the video up, but I wasn't watching the chatty house. I just had the video up. I was just essentially just listening to Scott. And I heard Kyle describing the reaction of the chatty house during that moment where it was like, oh, sounds like DC's around. Oh, Doug's out of here. And it was just a constant, you know, source of one extreme or the other.
Yeah.
My feeling, correct me, or don't correct me because you don't know. Here's my thought on what Scott just said. There is not going to be an expansive coaching search. That is not what I heard in Scott Perry's remarks right there. I think Kyle used this phrase earlier. Maybe it's Doug's job to lose. I'll paraphrase it maybe a little bit. Say Doug's the leader in the clubhouse. I do believe that other people have called Scott Perry about this position, and I think a few of those people he's intrigued by. I think my impression of what Scott said was he's going to talk to a few people who he likes for this job, and if he sees any of them as a better fit than Doug Christie, then maybe that's the direction he goes. My feeling is he has Doug in the one spot, and he's going to talk to a couple of other people, and it's up to those people to take Doug out of that one spot. That's how I read it. I did not read it as if he's having an expansive coaching search. I read it as I actually, in a way, take him for at his word. He has a couple of guys he wants to talk to, and he'll move forward from there.
Yeah, I see it the same way. The more he continued to talk to about basketball and his philosophy on team building, it seemed to coincide with what I believe you get from a Doug Christie. It seemed like it would be in line with how he approaches the game and how he approaches a locker room and leading a locker room and leading a roster. So I definitely think mentality-wise, Scott Perry, Doug Christie are good fits. But to your point, I do believe that he's gotten calls of people that he likes, people that he trusts, people that he believes are good basketball minds and good leaders of men. And he wants to give them the opportunity, like you said, to win that job. Because it does feel like Doug is just a thought.
Yeah.
He is number one. He is there. He's in that spot. But he can be swayed from the right person with the right perspective. And he's going to give that opportunity to happen for a couple people. But I'm with you. I don't think this is a league-wide search
of
the next coach. I don't think it's that.
I don't feel like we hear Avery Johnson is in Sacramento. The name I thought of. I don't think we hear Coach B is in Sacramento to, you know, meet with Scott. I don't think that happens. Mm-hmm. I think if Scott starts to lean in a certain direction, then we start hearing reports about, hey, Darvin Ham, so-and-so is a front runner. Oh. Well, would be him. And some of y'all was cold last night with the tweets. I got sent a couple of them. I was like, my first thought was, I got to send these to Jason Jones. Poor Darvin Ham. The brother can't put his hands in his pockets at a basketball game anymore. But I think if perhaps Scott Perry is leaning in a certain direction, we start to hear stuff about, hey, it turns out, Coach A could be the guy to land the job in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. If we don't, and, 4, 5, 6, 7 days start to pass, I think Doug Christie winds up being named the head coach. My gut still tells me I think Doug is the head coach.
I do, too.
That's just what my gut tells me.
Yeah.
And my gut has been wrong so many times. My gut sometimes is just saying it's hungry and I'm not listening close enough.
Here, have a Snickers.
Pretty much. I think Doug's the coach, though.
I think so, too. I was listening to Scott Perry, his press conference, and hearing him speak. And when I talk about him winning a press conference, maybe I'm coming from a different POV, because I came from the point where I came into that. There ain't nothing he can say that can make me feel any different.
Mm-hmm.
I already told you guys how I feel about this whole thing a week ago. I will continue to reiterate it. I don't care what nobody says. I don't care what the process is. None of that matters at this point. You done messed up too many times. You just have to win,
mm-hmm.
period. So I came into that press conference with that mindset, and I heard Scott Perry speak for 5, 10, 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thoroughly impressed.
Mm-hmm.
And I understood after hearing him speak and expound on some things, why he's respected,
mm-hmm.
why he has so many connections around the league, why he's a good general manager. He's a good talent evaluator, but he's also a good communicator, can speak to an agent, can speak to a player, can speak to coaches, can speak to owners and get them to see his vision, or at the very least, calm them down so he can execute his job. And I was listening to him, and I was thinking about some of the other things that had gone on here in Sacramento. And a lot of people question the process maybe of how he got here the second time. And when that process started, he talked about that as well to a certain degree. But I kept thinking, I was like, man, this is – Scott Perry is – the right hire. He's always been the right hire. And he got away. And now you get an opportunity. This franchise has had so many players, coaches, executives get away. And you never get a chance to see them again. Michael Malone, Luka, Dame Lillard, Klay Thompson, all these other guys. Jeff Petrie's gone. Name the executive, name the coach, name all this other stuff who've gone on to be successful outside of Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrese Halliburton. And they never get another opportunity with that right person again.
Mm.
And this is the first time you're getting an opportunity with the right person again. Scott Perry, not to pull a D-Lo, but Scott Perry is the right person for this job. He is the fit. He's the guy.
Oh,
he checks
all. I hate
all
to tell you this, pal. I lived that life before.
No,
it worked great for 12 months or so.
He's the guy. He's the guy. That is the guy that not only knows what he's doing, but the guy that this franchise needs, this owner needs. He's the one. And they had him here in the building before, and he did some good things. And James talks about what he did in his 3 months just being in the building. And they lost him because he got his dream job. He got him back. This is the guy. This is it. That's what, after listening to him speak, that's the resounding sentiment I had. He's the right guy for this job.
He said something that I'm looking to see. I don't know if I have that exact line here. I think it might be in this clip, but I guess you don't need to hear it. He essentially said, you know, 8 years ago, which, God, I can't believe it was that long ago. 8 years ago, I had a 3 month job interview. And I thought that was a great line for people who thought that this happened in a way that they're uncomfortable with. I know Matt George wasn't super fond of how quickly it happened. And I do like the idea that, one, we said this when it happened. They went to someone that they know. They went to someone that they're comfortable with. And I never once thought it like, oh, okay, yeah. It wasn't a job interview. It wasn't anything close to a job interview. But you go away for 8 years. They call you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess in reality, that's what it was. Yeah. And so I love that line. I thought that was a great line that maybe put some people who were either uncomfortable or unhappy, be it fans or media, with the process. I feel like if that doesn't put you at ease, nothing will. They know this man. They know him pretty intimately from his time with the organization. He has gone on to be a general manager of a basketball team. There are people critical. I saw it when he was hired about his time in New York. Remember, his time in New York came to an end essentially because CAA took over. Mm-hmm. And it was, you're basically the middleman. We don't need you to be the middleman anymore.
Yeah.
We're just going to do this all ourselves. And that's ultimately what they did.
Right.
It's not an indictment of really Scott Perry's job. It's they just determined you're not going to find Scott Perry's 25 years in the league are not more powerful than CAA's. God's influence on the NBA might not be as powerful as CAA's. Yeah. That's just, there might not be an entity on earth more powerful than CAA.
Yeah.
Like it's just how it is.
Yeah.
So I loved that line from Scott Perry today. And I thought, oh, that could be one that gets, you know, maybe the Matt Georges, we'll talk to him tomorrow to just kind of, okay. All right. I hear you.
And to that point, there hasn't been a lot of successful coaches, front office people here in Sacramento, so it's not the exact comparison. But if they've been...
My question is...
Sorry about that. I was Matt George.
Oh, you're good. If they've been talking to Mike Malone since the day he's been fired...
Michael Malone.
If they've been talking to Michael Malone since the day he was fired,
yeah.
Do you need to interview Michael Malone? He's established. You know who he is. You had him in the building. It's not an interview. Mm-hmm. I said, do you want to do this? Are you down to do this?
Mm-hmm.
It's to a certain degree, it's as simple as that. Because if he says, yes, I want to be here, I don't need to interview. I know who you are. I know how you go about things. I know we'll have a conversation just because that's what it is. But a formal interview or all this other, it's not needed because I know you. And to that line that you talk about with Scott Perry, I had a 3 month interview. They know Scott Perry. I don't think there's anything that he could have said that they weren't at least familiar with him. They know him. They know who he was. It really came down to, hey, Scott, do you want to do this? If you want to do this, all right, let's make it happen. And it seems to be that's what happened. As you can see, I'm all in on it, man. And I came from a place where I was already kind of all in on it just because of his resume and what he's done in this league. I thought that's a good move, but there was nothing, I believed there was nothing he could say in this press conference that would get me hyped up or excited about what he could do. And I was wrong. He did a great job. He did a great job today. And like I said, I know some people probably looking for direct answers on certain stuff. You just, some answers you're just not going to get. And they don't really need to be said. But I thought he did a great job. I'm excited to see what he could do with this team.
You made me, I didn't think of this until the second you said it. I really haven't. Do you think he calls Michael Malone? Does he get, because that's one that you have to clear.
Yeah.
You want me to hire a coach. I have a relationship with Mike. Do you have a problem if I call him? I don't think Vivek or anyone involved would say, yes, I have a problem. I think they would all be like, go ahead.
I think so, too.
The question is, does Michael look down at his phone? Scott Perry, no effing way.
Scott got a call from a different number. Psych him out a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he would. I think he would. I agree with you. I don't think anybody involved in the organization would say, no, don't call him. I don't believe they would. And I think he seems like the type of guy, especially in this situation, where no stone will be unturned. Like, we're gonna look everywhere we can to improve this thing. And if it means swallowing your pride a little bit or whatever people look at that as, by going back and trying to get Michael Malone, we'll do that. Because we're going to do anything we can to turn this thing around. So to answer your question, I think at the very least, I can imagine him having a conversation about it, like internally, at the very least. What do you guys think? I'm not sure if I'm even going to do this, but what do you guys think about the prospect of calling Michael Malone? I think it's all on the table.
If you get Mike Malone, don't even tell nobody till game one. Just wrestling this whole thing.
That's Michael Malone. That's Michael Malone.
Whose music? No. That's the one where that's it. Mark Jones just, he has to. No. It can't be. That's. And then Katie Christensen will blow it. It's Michael Malone.
Mike's just standing there, center court. What the hell's Mike Malone doing? Someone hands him a clipboard from the King's assistant staff.
Katie the King Christensen just ruining the whole bit. Like, oh no! All right.
But the Michael Cole, one of his, he doesn't have these moments all the time. Good. What the hell is he doing here? Oh my God! You know something's up if Pat McAfee becomes the play-by-play analyst here in Sacramento. If we get that email, then you know something's up. So
yeah,
I'm a believer. I'm a believer in Scott Perry.
Okay, as am I, and many members of the media, including our buddy Matt George, got the opportunity to ask Scott Perry about the boogeyman today.
My question has to do with timelines specifically. Last season, there was a bit of like a plan playoff mandate kind of on the organization and the position that they were in. Has it been expressed to you from Vivek?
And do the things necessary to create an environment that will breed that. And that's the only mandate. And so I'm going to do what's best, what I see is best for that. Obviously, I'm someone who's wired to win. So, again, we'll see what unfolds over the next coming months. But I'm going to do my very best to enhance what's here right now and see where it takes us.
With all this, just how closely are you going to be working with Vivek with all of these decisions? Has he given you full control to say, I'm going to hire the coach, I'm going to add these players to the roster, or do you plan to work with him?
Look, obviously Vivek owns the team, and I've worked with Vivek before, and I enjoy a very healthy and positive relationship with him. But make no mistake, he has empowered me to lead this team and make critical decisions. Now, will I talk to him often about different things in this team? Absolutely. It only makes sense. There's a saying that will be prevalent throughout my tenure here and within our office. I want diversity of thought, but with unity of purpose. Mm. And that's what we're going to be led by. And so that starts with my relationship with Vivek.
This sound like Brother Perry here for a second. Let me run this one more time.
He was in his bag.
I want diversity of thought, but with unity of purpose.
My question has to do.
Matt, shut up. Diversity of thought, unity in purpose.
Put it on a shirt,
man.
Yeah.
Again, we talk about winning.
Come on now.
Unity of purpose.
This is
that's a bar.
Not to, once again, not to disrespect anybody that was here previously, but an adult has stepped into the room.
That's the name of Drake and Kendrick's song when they come back together in 5 years. Diversity of thought, university of purpose. That's the name of the song.
Bing, bing.
An
adult has stepped into the room. An organizer
talk about it,
has stepped into the room.
Oh, we need Fred Van Fleet wasn't available.
He even said we needed an organizer.
Well, he did. Yeah, that is. I mean, I don't know if that is good to hear him say that or infuriating. Mm. I mean, it's obvious, right? We get it. Like we all know what it is. Mm. But it's also like the same at De'Aaron Fox, Tyrese Halliburton. They drafted Davion Mitchell. Like, all we did was draft guards.
And you couldn't keep one.
And the universal line was, well, we need a point guard.
You couldn't get one. You couldn't get one.
There was another line he said at the beginning of that. I didn't want to get lost because he said, it wasn't a line, it was a phrase. He said it a couple of times. Sustainable winner. Mm. He used that phrase at least two or three times. Mm. And it makes me feel like that was not a talking point. That it makes me feel like the term sustainable winner was used in the discussion of what Monty and Wes were doing. Mm. In the fact that they couldn't build a sustainable winner. Or in conversations with Scott, he said, what you built wasn't sustainable. Mm. That phrase is not something Scott said for the first time today. Some version of the term sustainable winner or unsustainable has been discussed over the last, week and some change, 2 weeks, month, however long this process has gone on with Scott Perry.
That's a good call. That's a good call. And I agree with you 100% on that. I do want to say one thing real quick, because Roddy in the chat, he says, adult in the room with a question mark. We really dogging Monty like this. You're right. Adult isn't the right phrase for that. Probably more so what I'm looking for is a leader. A leader has stepped into that organization. I don't think Monty McNair was a leader of men. I don't think he was a guy that could lead this organization.
I think Monty's really smart, and he's going to spend his entire life, any that he wants, in this business. Mm-hmm. He will have a position in any front office he wants to today or a year from now. Because what he does, I think, adds value to a front office. Mm-hmm. Leading that front office is different. I do not think highly of Wes Wilcox. I do believe his time in the NBA is over. Mm. And having Scott Perry here, you feel like Scott is the type of guy where he even said this. We'll play this clip in a couple of minutes. He was talking about everybody looking in the mirror, including me. What am I good at? What am I not good at? If there's a situation where you have an analytics guy working on something, you used the term closer earlier. Scott's the closer. Mm-hmm. In every sense of the word. Scott's the closer. Deal's done. Cool. I'm like theoretic. Great. Let's nail this. Let's get where we're going. Excellent. Deal's not done. A word. Okay. Get them on the phone.
Yeah. Get out. Get
Mike Dunleavy on the phone for me.
Yeah.
We'll get this done. Yeah. We're getting this done today. Mm-hmm. He's that type of closer. You'll hear more from Scott Perry. We'll also come back. We want to hear from you as well. TC, hang tight. You're up next. I promise. 916-909-1320. We also want to get into the games last night. One went the way I thought. The other one very much did not. We'll come back. We'll talk about it. Stephen with KC. Brought to you by Sky River Casino. Get in on the action. Sky River Casino is the place to play with 2,100 of the newest slot machines and over 80 table games. Sky is the limit at Sky River Casino. All right, let's get TC in here, man. 916-909-1320, Oak Grove Kids Talk Line. TC, what's happening, baby?
Yes, sir. What's up with my two brothers?
What's up, TC?
Man, you know, I'm fired up. Perry, we try to say Perry was a dude, bro. Hey, I hear you now, Kenny. That's what I was talking about with Perry, bro.
Yeah.
Dude is a factor. He finna come in here and make moves. D-Lo, you know what stood out? He said, I talked to all the players already. He said, I still got something to talk to. But he said, I'm talking to him, and I'm finding out if you want to be here or not. And if you don't want to be here, I'm going to find a place for you, and mm-hmm. we're going to do it accordingly. Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm all for it, bro. Then he also said, Vivek, what did he say with Uncle V? He said, man, the only mandate is to build a sustained winner. That's the only mandate we got. Me and Vivek already got a good relationship. Mm-hmm. I'm going to come to him and tell him, look, hey, bro, this is a move we're thinking about doing, and we're going to make it. This is for the better of the team. Perry is the one, like you said, Kenny. We let him go. We got him back in the building, D-Lo. Let's not let him go, King. We up and up.
Let's go. Sir.
I'm with that. The other thing that I think about, I appreciate you, TC, with Scott Perry, and I understand. Like, I'm not naive to what we as a fan base have gone through and stories of Vivek's meddling and all this other stuff. So I get it. But I look at this maybe a little different than others. Scott Perry is a respected, certified, verified NBA executive in this league who has won at a high level everywhere he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Do not disrespect this man and say he's going to take a job where he's a puppet.
There you go. Yep.
Like he.
There you go. Yep.
If he didn't believe that he could do this job the right way in the way that he would like to do it while working with others, but the way that he likes to do it, I can almost guarantee you he wouldn't be taking this job.
Mm-hmm.
If he felt like he was going to be hamstrung by Vivek, or Vivek is going to use him as a puppet to make whatever moves he wants to do and all that, this ain't no first timer.
Yeah.
This ain't no first timer. And I want to make it clear, no disrespect to Monty McNair, but maybe Monty, it's his first job. Maybe if that was the case, he felt like he had to do something like that. Scott Perry don't have to do this.
What was that line our friend said to us that day? This is not the place for a first-time general manager.
That's right.
This is just not the place for that. You need someone established here.
Yeah. So I understand the concerns. I trust me, I'm not scolding anybody or nothing like that. I get it. But don't disrespect this man, Scott Perry. He doesn't need to do this.
Right.
This is something he wants to do. He's competitive. Mm-hmm. He sees it as a good opportunity in a way that he can continue his legacy in this league, doing things the way he's done for 25, 30 years. So that would be maybe me trying to calm the worries of Kings fans about meddling and all this other stuff. Scott Perry, he's not taking no job where he even thinks meddling is going to be an issue, I believe.
No, I could not agree more. Let's see what Leezy talking about. Leezy, great work this morning, man. What's going on?
Leezy.
Yo, what's up, D-Lo and KC? What's popping, guys?
Leezy, what's up, Kim Folk?
Leezy got that energy today, boy. Yes, sir.
I got my ear to the streets, guys. I'm reporting live from the Golden One Center. You feel me?
I see you, big dog.
We out here working. Shout out to Matt George, Tony, Harvey, the homie. We out here working.
Oh, and let's not gloss over the fact that the Kings general manager made a Tony reference at his open press conference. Let's not golf. That means something.
It means something to me, damn it.
I didn't have it on my bingo card, but hey, I didn't mind it. He's for the culture. Hey, guys, I just wanted to call in and talk about the Scott Perry press conference, man. Hey, I enjoyed it. Hey, I think Scott Perry's could bring some stability here, which is something much needed. And in comparison to Monty, Scott Perry has the connections. He had his one draft when he was here, and he picked some decent guys. He at least picked some older guys, some younger guys, let me clarify. And I don't know. It just seems like he's aligned with the front office. So hopefully things go good. But I just wanted to tap in with my homies real quick, you know?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Why does it sound like Leezy sound like he was up to no good right now?
There was someone standing next to him.
There definitely was. There was
some, like he did at the end. Yeah. Someone was standing there.
It's like Carmichael Dave was walking up to him and he got nervous.
Hey, tell him I'm here. Yeah. Tell him I'm here.
Yeah.
Maybe Matt George was with him or something. Give a shout out to Matt.
He's about to interview Whitey Gleason for the
Hey, Whitey Gleason, can I get your thoughts for ESPN 1320 here?
It was so great.
Shout out Leezy, man. Leezy out here grinding.
So great. Yes, he is, man. That was a nice little surprise to see him out there at the Golden 1 Center, man. Good stuff.
I think you got something for the people that this is the one that spoke to your boy. This is the clip that spoke to your boy. This was the statement. This is what I'm talking about.
Okay. You know, I don't know that this is the clip that No. I'm not sure what
because you talked about it. You mentioned it before we went to break.
Yeah.
And I think this is the one. I think this is the one that I was.
So that's funny. As soon as he said that, again, this is my life. The first person I thought about, he used the word, and you were the first person I thought about.
He was talking.
I was like, oh, I know KC heard that. Okay. All right. Here's more from Scott Perry, courtesy of Matt George and ABC 10.
One thing I want all the players here to do, I want to buy each player a mirror. Because at first, we're going to look at ourselves. And that starts with me, each and every day. And so there's going to be an accountability, first and foremost, that am I doing everything as an individual to make this team successful? Mm. And then whoever we have in here to coach, it's going to be their job, and I'm going to be behind the scenes helping to make sure that we maximize what they can do on the court. The teams that I've been a part of, and I spent a long time with the Detroit Pistons, as you well know, and that team was built on accountability, was built on toughness, was built on defense, and was built on a team-first attitude. So when players come in this building, and when staff come in this building, starting with me, when I get out of my car and they get out of their cars, we're leaving our personal agendas and egos inside those cars. When you come inside, it's about the collective.
Talk about it. Mm. That's the one, right?
Man, that's it.
Yeah, it's the one.
That's it. That's what's needed from the top down in this organization. That's what's needed.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Hopefully we can execute it. Maybe we get everybody on the same page. But that's what it's about. It's about, am I doing my job to the best of my abilities?
Mm-hmm.
Not, I can't do my job because person X isn't allowing. No. Am I doing my job? Are there going to be some pitfalls or some road bumps? For sure. But even then, you still have to come back and look and say, how can I be better?
Mm-hmm.
How can I do things better? I use the example all the time, man. We pull the curtain back a little bit. This isn't a very big staff here at 1320 compared to other, you know, radio stations across the country.
Right.
Right?
Or 90 miles from here.
Right. But I think all seven of us, however many it is, we all say, hey, that doesn't matter. Yeah, we're behind the eight ball with manpower, but that doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to come here every day. We're going to do our job. We're going to go the extra mile and make sure that we're doing what we can to win, period.
That means we got to make graphics when we're not graphic designers.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to be KC is dope. If it means I gotta fill in as a host because James is at the press conference, then that's what Jesse's going to do.
Yeah, we ain't sitting here saying, oh, Philadelphia's not, and they're handicapping us, so we can't do. No, we're in the game.
They're taking our YouTube money.
You guys are handicapping us, by the way. Right. We're just making it work.
You're right. They are. I'm not the.
I know.
Not saying they're not, but.
You almost went into your shack. No, I don't know. They're taking our money.
So I got to be right back. Yeah. Talking too damn much. Yeah.
Well, shut up, D-Lo.
But this is it. This is what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And to pat ourselves, that's why we win. Because we don't look for excuses. We don't look for reasons why we can't get things done. We figure out what we got to do to win. And that applies to that organization.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying everybody in that organization is perfect or has handled things right, the right way.
no mincing words, Vivek hasn't handled things right the entire time. Mm-hmm. Like, he's been off base a number of different times. We get that. But you still got a job to do, general manager. You still got a job to do, coach. You still got a job to do, player X. Yeah. You still got a job to do, trainer X.
Yep.
You still got a job to do, security guard
media
X.
Relations. Yeah, yeah, security guard. Like,
you got a job.
Popcorn seller, everybody, yeah.
Yeah, and I love that he's bringing that type of mindset to this organization. And I think that's, I want to say the most, but if it's not the most, it's high up on the list on what needs to change in this organization.
Yeah, I think the way that you preach accountability and the way that you I don't know how to phrase this. The way that you I guess force accountability are really important to the process as well.